Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, December 5th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XVIII, the second paragraph that starts with, "Our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period. Through one paragraph ending, we had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene." We're going to be commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Yvonne A., 12 Traditions, Tanya P., readers of the text, Diane B., Dana P., and Shelley E. The reference number for Monday, December 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,903. That's 20903. And for this morning, Tuesday, December 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the number is 20,905. That's 20905. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Larry G., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Yvonne A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Yvonne A., C, Canada, and these are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Reread a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XVIII, the second paragraph that starts with, "Our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period," through one paragraph ending, "We had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene." We're going to be commenting on this one paragraph today. I will now ask Diane B. to begin reading and then share with us. Star one, Diane.
Good morning. Yes, good morning. Sorry about that. Our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period. The test that it faced was this: could these large numbers of erstwhile erratic alcoholics successfully meet and work together? Would there be quarrels over membership, leadership, and money? Would there be strivings for power and prestige? Would there be schisms which would split AA apart? Soon, AA was beset by these very problems on every side and in every group. But out of this frightening and at first disrupting experience, the conviction grew that AAs had to hang together or die separately. We had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. Good morning. I'm Diane B., gratefully recovered here in New York. And this is an amazing paragraph, as I think most of them are. So, you know, what they're talking about, this fearsome and exciting adolescent period. Adolescence is, you know, teenagers. And that's what we acted like. And that's still sometimes what I act like. And the thing about teenagers is that they want to, like, they want you to come closer, but then they push you away. Mom, I need your help. No, Mom, I'm fine. Leave me alone. Right? This goes back and forth. And that's how we were in this group. Then it says that we were erstwhile and erratic alcoholics. Well, I looked up these words. Erstwhile means formerly, and of past times, and erratic means unpredictable, inconsistent. Well, erratic is definitely adolescence. And formerly, because when we were drinking or eating, you know, we acted in insane ways. But how are we going to come together? How are we going to meet and work together? And that's what they were concerned about at that time. And so then they have all these questions about, you know, would they be striving for power? Would there be schisms, which would split AA apart? And so what happened is then we came up with traditions. And I've heard it said that the steps prevent us from suicide and the traditions prevent us from homicide. And the traditions are really what hang us all together, what that's like the cohesiveness of the groups, is that we follow these same rules or traditions of, you know, whatever they are, and that's how we can bond ourselves to other groups in OA and as a whole. So I know that from my personal recovery, I remember in my second year of abstinence, I was feeling really like wonky, like I just wasn't feeling okay. I wasn't eating, I wasn't using my binge foods, but I wasn't really feeling good. And one of my friends told me, well, that's because I had the terrible twos. And so, you know, we keep comparing these things to child development. And so when we talk about the adolescence, like I said earlier, it's, you know, it's like, come closer, go away, come closer, go away. And I know that that's how I was also early in my recovery, was that I needed the help and I would ask for the help, but then I still was like doing what I wanted to do and doing my own, relying on my own finite power, which was not enough and not very reliable, to be honest. So we had to have all these things, all these questions we had to ask ourselves, whether it's from the group or whether it's from our personal experience of recovery, because I do know that, you know, lots of things happen and I still have things that come up in my life that I don't really know what to do. In fact, 2 days ago, I had a situation and I had to call my sponsor and I called another fellow to get some experience, strength, and hope on that. So, it's a great paragraph. There's a lot of really good stuff in here. And I think that really what it boils down to is that we have traditions. And thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane B., for getting us started. I will now take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Freya H.
Freya H.
Kathy M.
Who is that again? Say
Kathy
that again.
M.
Barbara E.
Oh, Kathy M. And Barbara E.
Sherry M.
Sherry M. Okay, very good. All right, let's start with that lineup. We'll start with Freya, Kathy, and then Barbara, and then Sherry. So Freya, go ahead, share with us. Please give me your initial and where you're calling from.
Good morning. Freya H. in Colorado, recovered a compulsive eater bulimic restrictor. Thank you. Thanks for your service, everybody. Thanks for being here. I love studying this book, especially these paragraphs that would be easy to gloss over. But what's jumping out at me is growing pains. Man, I don't want to deal with growing pains. And on the second page, it says, you know, but out of this frightening and at first disrupting experience, the conviction grew that we had to hang together or die separately. And so it's only through these growing pains do we find out what's really important. You know, we discover our priorities. And so I think about my own life and, you know, the growing pains in recovery that I've had to face. It's like every time I, get to a new level, it gets harder. It gets more intense. Like I've heard people say, like, the reward for spiritual work is more spiritual work. So like I never get to, you know, like relax and rest on my laurels and be like, okay, now it's going to be easy. It's like, nope, there's always going to be something new. So can I get comfortable with that? Can I accept that out of conflict is what, you know, where the real valuable things come from? That's where the gems come from. So that's what I'm getting from this reading today. And it's really helpful, you know, whenever I'm doing a resentment inventory and I get to the sick man's prayer, I, you know, where it says, you know, God, this is a sick person. I always think, you know, like, oh, this is one of God's children who is just spiritually developing. Like maybe they're in the adolescent phase or maybe they're in the toddler phase, you know, just like me. You know, we're all on our path, and it's good and right. It's just part of normal development. And that helps me to, it really shifts my perspective to just having compassion So I love learning about this history, because in the next paragraph we find out, wow, it was through all these conflicts that some really amazing, what became the traditions were born, and people learned that that's actually so valuable and it really protects us. But if there was no conflict, we probably wouldn't be wanting to. It would shift the way I value things. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Freya H. from Colorado. Kathy M., please share with us, followed by Barbara E., and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Kathy M. from Michigan. I am a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, and I want to thank all of you, as always, for being here and providing so much support. This paragraph really hit home because last night I fell back into one of my behaviors, and there was no reason whatsoever for me to fall back into that behavior. And I feel like I'm like a child, and this paragraph really hit home because I'm having these growing pains. I'm erratic. I'm not, I haven't figured out my way yet. And I really find that I fight things, and I don't want to do it a different way. And I'm like a child or a stubborn teenager. And I just, I find it amazing that whenever I want to share on a meeting, it just so happens that the reading really fits in with what I'm feeling that day. So I've never been a big, I'm not a religious person, but I do have a higher power. And I just think that it's amazing how that higher power brings things together just right. And my fellowship needs to grow, I believe, because I think I'm not reaching out to others as much as I need to be. And I don't think I can't grow alone. So I appreciated all the calls I got a few weeks ago, and the growing together, I think, is what I'm going to find to be my salvation and my healing to guide me through recovery. So anyway, thank you for allowing me to share, and have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Kathy M. from Michigan. Barbara E., please share with us, followed by Sherry M.
Good morning, everyone. This is Barbara E. from New Jersey, a compulsive overeater. And thanks to my higher power, yesterday I was abstinent. And if I'm willing to do the work and call out to him or her, my goddess, hopefully I'll be abstinent today. But I have to say that I think I don't start and stop my program. I just continue. Because if I make a slip, it's just a detour. It's not a dead end. And I'm so grateful for the traditions, because I was always afraid I'd go to a meeting when they were all face to face and the door would be locked, the light would be off, and no meeting would be there. So the traditions ensure that Overeaters Anonymous will continue. And the study of the traditions show the 12 suggestions and how they work for individual groups. So when I look at tradition 11, it says, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. Well, OA has given me a way out of my dilemma, and it's natural that I was so enthusiastic, I couldn't wait to tell everyone about the solution. But if I was too eager, I might scare people away. So I have to remember that if someone who I think might possibly benefit gives me an opening, then it's okay for me to share about OA. And tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions. Wow, if I didn't have the cloak of anonymity, I wouldn't feel open to share my emotions, how I'm doing, the truth, because I'm an addict. I will always be an addict, but I don't have to die because of it, because My compulsive overeating was like suicide by knife, fork, and spoon. But I can change. Step one is when I'm willing to change. And step two is believing that I can't change. And step three is making the decision to change. And then steps 5 and 11 are the actions to change. And step 12 is paying it forward and knowing I'll never get off the bus. And I just want to be one of the herd, one of the many, not the driver. Because if I'm the driver, the bus will crash. Because I'm a compulsive overeater. And I will always be one. So anonymity has one more significance, anonymity. It means that we serve OA in whatever ways we can. Thank you for doing this service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. Sherry M., please share with us. And before Sherry shares, I would like to just remind you we are on page XVIII, that second paragraph that starts with, our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period. Through one paragraph ending, we had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. So Sherry M., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hey, Don. Thank you so much. First of all, I love your sweet voice in the morning. Thank you for being so welcoming and for your service. And my name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered. In Wyoming, on the phone list, currently in Hawaii, very early here. And I wanted to share this paragraph because I just think this is everything. I looked up, you know, I love hang together. What does together mean? Together means to be in cooperation, to be jointly in cooperation. And it also means to be defined, you know, as one unit at the same time. And I love that. And the opposite is separately, which is independently and disconnected or disjoined. And that is exactly this disease for me. And so I love the traditions. I'm so grateful that my very first AA sponsor almost 20 years ago took me through the traditions after the steps and help explain them and what they mean. And our common welfare comes first. And thank God they had the foresight to make these traditions in place. I mean, if you can imagine a bunch of drunks, you know, like let's say there's 10 alcoholics in a room and they're doing these traditions, you know, one may still be drinking, you know, one may be newly sober without the steps yet. And all of these people are making the decisions. But imagine if they didn't have the group conscience. Then look who's making the decisions. You know, I know about me, and when I came in, I was emotionally sick for a while. And I have a different relationship now with group conscience. In the beginning, I really avoided it like the plague. I didn't want any participation in it, and I would leave at that part of the meeting when they would stay and do the group conscience because I was so scared. And then, you know, a few years in, then I was just full of fear to even speak up. I had no voice. And now I look at it as, gosh, let's all bring our great ideas here on this topic. There's a format you follow. You know, let's take 3 pros, let's take 3 cons to this subject. Anybody can bring up a group conscience. If it gets second, then that's God's will. And then you vote on it in a very loving, God-centered way. And I have taken this principle and the traditions into my work. And I speak up often, and sometimes I am the only voice speaking up. And if nobody else is, you know, thinking that's a great idea, I just let it go. And I believe that that's God. The idea just dissipates, and I let myself be intuitively led. But there is no right or wrong in, you know, in the groups. There's just what's the majority and what's not. And maybe the, you know, the idea for the group conscience is coming up, but it's not a good time right then. But it doesn't mean that it won't ever be. Again, like we're uniting. So what is the best possible situation right now? What is God's will for the group? And sometimes meetings have to like go away because like there's nobody doing service and maybe that's God's will. Thank you so much. So I just love it when we put God first in all our affairs, and that's how we have such amazing God-centered meeting. Thank you so much. I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Sharon from Wyoming. And I'm now going to take the list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Nicole C.
Nicole C.
Hannah B.
Hannah B.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Elaine S. from Tennessee.
Elaine S. Okay, let's go ahead with that lineup. I have Nicole C., Hannah B., Robin P., and Elaine S. Nicole C., please get us started.
Thank you, Dawn. Thanks for everybody doing service. This is Nicole C., grateful member of this fellowship in Washington State. And this paragraph really speaks to me about growing up, about maturing, which, you know, is described as fearsome and exciting. And I can really relate to that. It's, you know, fearsome because growth and change and doing things differently is scary. And exciting because growth and change and doing things differently brings amazing results. I am growing up in recovery through working the steps, living into the traditions in all areas of my life, and letting the principles guide me in my decisions. I learned to behave maturely, and part of maturing is coming to understand the critical nature of unity for not just addicts, but humanity. Hang together or die separately. And more and more, I realize how much connection I need to do life. Connection first and foremost with a loving power greater than me. And connection with all of you, all my fellows. I used to be certain I had to do life alone. I had to figure it out by myself. And I am so grateful that today I am mature enough to realize that the loving truth is we hang together or we die alone. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nicole C. from Washington. Hannah B., please share with us, followed by Robin P.
Hi, Hannah B. from Tennessee, grateful recovered compulsive eater. So grateful to be on this meeting this morning. And for all of you, thank you for your service, everyone. And I loved the opening pitch. And I think you said the principles and traditions prevent homicide and the steps prevent suicide, and that made me chuckle because it's really true for me. It's like in disease, like it's one or the other. I can vacillate, you know, just back and forth between the two states, and it's like my destructive disease thinking like will focus on, you know, me and self-centeredness or everyone else, and I'm so grateful for these like rules and guidelines, I guess, because we're undisciplined, you know, like the book says, and it's like, I really need to be told like, yeah, like be nice to people, like, you know, principles before personalities, like I need to be told these things because I also believe that alcoholics and addicts like are some of the most well-intentioned people, you know, and we just lack the power to carry those out. And it's like with the spiritual experience and with the steps and this change that we go through, I get to have the power to do those and follow these guidelines and rules. And I'm just so grateful today to be on this path. And I really need you guys. Like I really need this program and this steps because. And this blueprint for living, because if I didn't have it, I'd be one of those like alcoholics, like in an insane asylum, you know, like in a straitjacket, like that would be me because that's where my disease takes me. It takes me to just complete insanity. And, you know, I can always step into the sunlight of the spirit. Like that's always an option. I can step out of my disease thinking and my warped perceptions, you know, and join you all. And that's where I want to stay. You know, and it does take a daily conscious effort. And I'm, you know, I'm grateful. That's all I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hannah B. from Tennessee. Robin P., please share with us, followed by Elaine S. Star one, Robin. May I be heard?
Oh, wow, I was talking to myself. Thank you. Oh. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm currently in Costa Rica. And just thank you for your service, everyone who makes this meeting possible. Thank you, Dawn. So good to hear everybody. You know, I just love this paragraph because it's really so important that we all work together and that we practice these principles in all of our affairs and even with each other. You know, that's why I get to live in 10, 11, and 12, because feelings come up and I have a solution for that in working together with each other, or we die separately. I mean, that's pretty much sums it up. And just to get current, we traveled yesterday, and I'm so grateful for everyone in this fellowship. I have such a wonderful God squad, you know, and it's because we work together, you know, and we share honestly from our hearts. And, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. And, you know, we traveled all day yesterday to Costa Rica and with our two jungle dogs, Beto and Pantera. And through a weird thing that happened at the airport, we couldn't fly with them. They, for some reason, the person at the desk at the airline with the only direct flight said they weren't standing erect enough, and one of them yawned loudly, and she said that wasn't like a service dog, so she canceled our flight. So we prayed and tried to do everything we could, and we finally had to charter a plane to take us here. And, you know, I feel like I learned about going to any length in this program, and I just get to do the right thing. And it's like every single thing I learned of how to be loving, kind, tolerant, and patient, I learned here. I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm so grateful that they hung in there with the fellowship and they didn't give up. And they had to persevere through a lot of crap. Oh, my goodness. It was so challenging. And they never gave up. And that's what I love. And it's such a great role model for my own recovery. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. Pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Elaine S., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names. We are talking about page...
Good morning.
Just one second, Elaine. We are talking about page XVIII, that second paragraph. Our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period. So I'll be taking some more names after Elaine shares. So thank you so much, Elaine. Go ahead.
Thanks, Dawn. Sorry, I didn't hear that you started that while I was unmuting. My name is Elaine S. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Nashville, Tennessee, and on the phone list in Tennessee. I don't have anything profound to say, but I wanted to do service by sharing, because if nobody shared, what kind of a meeting would we have? And I just appreciate the vision meeting so much, and they've made such a difference in my own recovery. Specific to this paragraph today, I just was thinking about, imagine what a mess it was before the traditions and how much pain those early AA groups went through trying to craft out the traditions. So I'm really grateful for them. And also I appreciate the reminder, and this isn't profound, almost everyone has said it, how we have to hang together or die separately. This disease is a disease of isolation. I've proven that over and over again in my own recovery, and especially my struggles with relapse. So together, I can't do it alone. If I could have done it alone, I would have. What I can do is, you know, 60 pounds more than what I have today. I've documented that. That's documented. I need each other. I need the people who are recovering in this program. I can't do it alone. So I'm so thankful for these principles that will help me keep my eyes on what's most important. Thanks to everyone who made this meeting possible today. And I pass.
Thank you so much. Elaine S. from Tennessee. And now I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing every third day. Excuse me, 1 second. In order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? Who is that voice?
Katie S.
Katie S. Very
good. Cheryl P. Louvaine H.
One more time.
Jim S.
Louvaine H.
There was Jim S. And there was it Ruben?
Yes.
Okay. And then there was a woman's voice that I think I
Daryl.
Missed. Who was that?
It's Daryl. D-A-R-I-L-P.
Daryl P. Perfect. Okay, very good. So I have Katie S., Jim S., Ruben S., and Daryl P. Go ahead, Katie.
Hi, I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from the Charlotte area of North Carolina. I'm just doing my fifth step. I'm a newbie, and I find that doing the steps really difficult and painful. And I was reading this chapter and thinking, well, what in the world are they talking about? You know, who needs traditions? You know, what's going on here? I can barely get to the steps. And as they talked about it some more, you know, I realized, you know, there's so much to this program, and it's really a lifelong journey. And when they put together the traditions, they were really wise. And I just dismissed the traditions. I thought, what are those? Who needs traditions? And I realized through reading this paragraph and what I said was that, yeah, the traditions are really important. And when I finish the steps, I'm going to have to take a look at the traditions and try to do the best I can to continue to recover. And when I first heard that read, I thought, what are they talking? It just didn't make any sense. I thought it didn't matter to recovery that we go back to this history and stuff. And now I realize, yeah, there's a lot more to it, and that, yeah, together we succeed and separately we fail. So I appreciate everybody sharing, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Katie S. from North Carolina. Jim S., please share with us, followed by Ruben S.
Hi, my name is Jim S. I'm in Toledo, Ohio. And I'm trying to come to grips with the whole compulsive overeater aspect. And I remember when I was 16 years old and my mom told me I could finish what was left over from the supper we had. And that's when I picked up food. And yesterday I saw myself eating the same food just in different forms. And I thought I had arrived. And then I know later that day I was binging on something else. It wasn't food, just a habit I have. And I thought, wow, why am I doing this? Why can't I stop doing this? So I talked with my sponsor this morning. He had me listening to a podcast, and it was a two-hour podcast and talking about specific foods that a person abstains from. And it sounded like almost everything she was eating was on the list. And I don't know. I just know that I can't overeat. If I overeat, I'm binging. And I'm trying to get a hold of somebody that was helpful to me in the past. And I put in a text and I haven't heard back. But I think I'm coming to grips with this thing. It's just that I'm addicted to food. Not any specific food necessarily. It's just that I found comfort in eating the leftovers that night back many years ago. And my mother was an addict, and I know she knew I needed something to make me feel comfortable, and she just introduced me to food the same as someone would introduce me to alcohol. And I don't think it's that I have to abstain totally from that food. It's just that I want to overeat. And I don't know. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jim S. from Ohio. Keep coming back. Ruben S., please share with us, followed by Daryl P.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for your service. It's really, Ruben is fine. Normally, I say it Ruvain, and it's H. Ruvain H. from Israel. And grateful to be on this meeting, and I really like this paragraph. The traditions allow for the safety. That's what this paragraph means to me. It's about creating a safe place. And what it means, I know there's a lot of way it's used, that terminology today. What it means for me is that I don't have to worry about someone getting in my face and yelling at me. I don't have to worry about anyone calling me names. It's a place where I can hear different opinions, where I can hear different ideas, although they're joined around the whole idea of recovery. As I heard the word Sunday, I do like the idea of like we're a tribe here, and we are working together towards the common goal of taking away those foods that influence my craving, our craving, and we are finding God, and we are searching for those blocks. We're working the steps that get in the way of us having God, which is the power that will keep us sane and abstinent and sober. And these are the people that brought it out, and thank God for them, and thank God for everybody in the fellowship. So thanks for letting me share. Yes.
Thank you so much, Ruvain H. from Israel. Daryl P., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, all you lovely visionaries. This is Daryl P., calling in from New Orleans, Louisiana. I am a compulsive eater and very grateful compulsive eater this morning. There's some litmus tests for recovery, and I think one of those for me has been my ability to not only tolerate the traditions, but maybe to apply them. I wasn't able to absorb them, but as I've been, involved in groups and involved in recovery, quite honestly, I think they're just some of the most elegant guidelines in place, right? So I love the understatement. That the line of, the period of adolescence, one can only infer all of the insanity that went on, probably most of which wasn't part of the historical records. But I think they learned probably from the Oxford group of issues. And I find that the traditions have kept me in the rooms. They've kept me, they've given me a guideline to deal with conflict, which is not something I learned anywhere else. I've not learned that anywhere else but here. And I'll end with the very, very best thing I've ever heard about these tools is that the steps were there to prevent suicide. and that the traditions are there to prevent homicide. And with that, I'll pass. Hope everybody has a great day.
Thank you so much, Daryl P. from Louisiana. We do have time for another share. Who hasn't shared in the last few days who would like to share with us?
Hi.
Go ahead. Who's this?
Thank you. My name is Haya G.
Haya
from New York.
Very good. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm pretty new here. I listened to some meetings a while ago, and lately I've been, you know, coming on, but I haven't really said anything. So I wanted to just speak up. I've been eating abstinently, or basically abstinently for a while. I started working with a sponsor, and then I think it wasn't such a great match for me, or maybe there was another issue, I don't know, but basically we're not working together right now. So so a few days ago already, or more than that, I was I said at my meeting on Sunday, I have an in-person meeting, and I said, you know, like, I'm like on the verge of eating, and so I did end up eating, but part of the problem is that I don't remember how it was when I was eating. So this morning, actually, I pulled out a notebook that I started apparently in the spring, in like March or April, and I was writing down when I was in the food, and I was writing down like the misery that's in the food. I think part of my motivation was so I'll remember how bad it was. And actually, of course, I remembered about that notebook even a few days ago, but I wasn't interested in going and getting it. But this morning I looked at it, and one thing I noticed I found in there was I was saying I was writing all the negative effects the food, that I'm in, and I tried to write it by category. And one of the things I noticed is that the food is having a pull. The food is having a pull, but also I have a pull inside me towards the food. And as I'm reading it, is that time?
Yes.
Okay, fine. I'll stop. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Haya G. from New York. And to everyone who shared, making this just a really wonderful meeting. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, my friends and fellows. Dana P. here in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellow. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.